We're live.
Hey, today we're going to be talking about community. You know, what I found is that the WordPress community is like no other technology community I've been involved in, and I've been involved in lots. I've been doing this for 19 years. The open source nature of the software really extends out into the people in this community, and I'm a big believer in that. I started the OC WordPress meetup based on that philosophy. I'm going to talk about a little bit about that today. I'm going to talk about why to get involved in WordCamp, and maybe a little bit about what I call co-opetition. I'm Steve Zangit, and the Dragcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time.
Drag. For the Dragcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
That is right. We're back. The Dradcast is back. Some things might have changed, but this show has not. It's still awesome. It's still me. It's still Dre. Dre, dude, what's up? I feel like it's been, I don't know, how many hours since I was there with you?
About, I don't know, 10. Forever pimping. Forever sipping. That's how it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, just got back from a trip out west. A little Drad camp action, hanging out with Dre. Funny, we literally scheduled me flying out there from Friday to Tuesday, so I don't know why we didn't wrap it around the show, but it's all good. We had a lot of fun, hung out in the 1,000-degree weather. I got a little burnt. I might have broke my foot, but, you know, I survived.
That sounds like a good trip to me.
Yeah, you had...
California.
You even got to play with a ginormous burrito. There was that. That was the Matador.
I'm still playing with it, if you know what I mean. But let's bring on our guest. We got many of you may know of this guy. He's we'll call him an enemy behind the lines because he does.
Oh, stop.
Another okay, I'll stop. We're all friends here. We all love it. But help me welcome Mr. Steve Z, as I call it. Is it Zangit? Am I gonna destroy it by saying that Zangit?
No, that's right? Perfect. That's perfect. If you were saying it with a German accent, it would be Zangut.
Zangut. That's das good. Welcome to the show, Steve. How's it going, man?
It's going well. It's going well. Thank you for having me on. I'm stoked to be here.
We're excited. So I think, if memory serves me right, you are on a show called WP Water Cooler. Some of our listeners may have heard of it. And I believe you're the third host that we've had from that show, one of the regulars. So we've had Chris on, and, you know, Chris won't just go away. He's always on the show. I don't know why. And we've also had Suzette on, who's also awesome. So I believe you're the third one. Is that right, Trey?
Am I doing that? If my memory serves correct, that sounds pretty accurate.
Great. Awesome. So that's not bad, considering you have, what, five kind of main?
We have six regulars.
Six regulars.
It's, me, Say, it's me, Suzette, Chris, Say, Jason, and Dave.
Awesome. So we're halfway through there. We'll see if we can get through all that one of these days. But let's get right into it, guys. We got a lot to talk about, and before we do, I need to know what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Steve, what do you got rattling around over there in your hand, big guy?
I got my typical. I got a Blue Moon.
Hey, yo, I like it. I can dig it. That's delicious. Man, what do you have over there, Bradford? Can we make it 2 weeks in a row with all three of us having alcoholic beverages?
I think so, man. I'm celebrating a little bit of Red Label, so I know Dre loves the labels. What do you got, Dre?
A little scotch there, that's good. I'm a little bit of what was left over from
our leftovers.
From our weekend of awesome here. Drag
is that an arrogant bastard?
That is an arrogant bastard.
I haven't seen one of those in a while.
And I'm gonna back that up.
That's fitting.
with a Kona Brewing Company, Big Wave,
good one.
Golden Ale. So I'm double fisting over here.
The best thing about that arrogant bastard is the label. Have you read the label?
It is pretty awesome. You're not worthy.
Read the fine print. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it starts off, the tagline is, you're not worthy. So there's that.
It definitely takes an arrogant bastard to drink that. I like it. It's certainly acquired taste. I remember the first time I had that beer, I absolutely hated it. I couldn't even finish it.
That's a rough beer.
I really like it now, but I like the hops. So
love it.
We'll get back to the beer cast right after this. Oh, man, that's great. So, Dre, you got my leftovers over there. I know you can feel free to eat the rest of my burrito. I think it might still be in your refrigerator.
That thing scares me, man.
Is that a euphemism?
How you doing? So I'm going to be speaking in the tone of Joey from Friends the rest of the episode. I got nothing.
Speaking of Joey from Friends, do you guys watch episodes?
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't.
One of the best shows on TV. It's fantastic. And you'd think a Matt LeBlanc show, it's awesome. It's awesome. Well,
better than the Dradcast?
No.
We'll see after this show, right? Let's get into it, man. We got a lot to talk about. We got all sorts of topics, a couple news topics, but I think Dre and I are a little more interested in you. So, where do we start? You do a lot of stuff, just a lot of stuff in general, from the company you run to the community you're a part of, and you help run to the podcast to the mobile stuff to the Tonga Room to this list that we're not allowed to talk about that we might get into. Where do we begin? Let's roll it back because I know we kind of like to get back to where people started. Like, where did the web begin for you? Where did your web kind of click, turn the light on, you realize, hey, this is something I really enjoy and I want to do?
Actually, I sort of fell into this. So I started Zeke. Zeke was an idea that I had when I was working for Jeff Turner, my business partner. I was working for Jeff, and the web was just starting. And what happened was I was working graveyard shift, and during a lot of this downtime in the middle of the night, I taught myself how to program Macromedia Director. That's what I did with my spare time. And I was making some CD-ROMs, I was making multimedia, and I pitched the idea to Jeff as an arm of his business. Didn't quite work out, and so I quit, and I started this with no clients, no prospects, no money, nothing. And I just kind of went at it for 2 years until I finally landed a client, and it just took off from there. I built games, Adver games, all throughout the 90s, and then turned Zeke into a full-service web shop around 2000-2001.
Very cool. So that's fairly early on. You know, 2001, you have a web shop. You know, the web's really taken off at that point, but it was also right after kind of the bubble burst. So taken off, in a cautious way, right?
Actually, it was right with so I hit every bubble. So I started Zeke as a CD-ROM company, the day that CD-ROM died. So like CD-ROM just tanked as soon as we started, and luckily Shockwave happened, and we knew some people at Macromedia, and that just sort of became a natural for us. So that took off, and then when we turned it into a full service web shop, the 2001 crash happened, and you know, and we went bust after that too. So my timing is not very good.
But you stuck with it, so I mean, you certainly could have easily kind of cash your chips in at that point, right? Maybe went a different. And I don't think anybody would blame you because everybody after that was like, maybe the web isn't what we thought it was. Maybe I need to be looking at different avenues, different areas to take my business.
I kind of saw the bigger picture. I had really good clients. I mean, even though the bubble burst, we still were steady throughout it. It was slower, but we were steady and we were able to maintain. And you know, what I did is I scaled back. I sort of slimmed everything down, waited it out, and then you know, I was kind of a lone survivor once everything came back. All my competitors from the 90s are gone.
Well, that tends to happen. I mean, yeah, you get new ones, and the ones that are awesome sustain, and they find ways to adjust and pivot and kick ass in moving forward. So where does that leave you? I mean, where are you at today? What's going on with you, and where are you going next, Steve?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that, because I really don't change that much. And we were talking about it on the pre-show. I actually kind of fear change. I fear growth. We have two cool competencies at Zeke, and this is what I tell my clients. We do WordPress websites, and we do iOS native apps. That's it. Those are our core competencies. Those are what we stick with. We're a technology company. Now, there's other things that complement that, and we have other resources that we can bring in, but that's really what we do best. And the reason I say that is I've always found that focusing helps you grow. I know that doesn't seem like it makes sense, but if you narrow your focus on something, people actually then end up bringing you more things outside of that focus.
I think there's a lot of truth to that, and that's we had a very similar experience at WebDev when we first kind of really went at it full time back in 2008. We were focused on open source was kind of our focus, but that's a big focus, like open source line. Once we really said, all right, let's just focus on WordPress. That's when we went from kind of just plateauing to like really, really growing really quickly because we did just focus on WordPress. We said, look, we're not doing the other open source stuff. WordPress is where it's at for us, so we can focus on that and kind of, you know, get talent around that. So I think that's interesting because that's exactly what we did.
And I did the same thing. You know, once we started working in WordPress, that was it. We said, okay, we're a WordPress shop. It's what we build. Before that, we were PHP MySQL developers, and that's really broad. That can mean anything. You know, people were bringing us Mambo sites, Joomla sites, custom content management systems. They were asking us to manage all kinds of stuff, and we were all over the map. And ultimately, you know, that doesn't work. You know, you lose focus, and ultimately, you burn the hours doing it. Mm-hmm.
Did we get
so how's the overlap between?
What's that?
Well, a little lag there. Go ahead, Brad.
Sorry. Yeah, Google killing it for us. No, I was curious about kind of so your competencies are WordPress and iOS, and I think on the surface there doesn't appear to be a lot of overlap. Are you actually building iOS apps specifically for like WordPress sites, or is it just completely separate? Like someone would come to you and say, "I need an iOS app that does XYZ. I don't need a website. I don't need WordPress. I just want an app."
Great question. Most of our apps actually have a WordPress backend, so we build that middleware layer to talk between WordPress and iOS.
Oh, gotcha. Well.
So they complement each other.
So there is an overlap there. That's good. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. What's it like? That's two very different platforms we work on. You know, we have some experience with iOS apps, and it's and Android for that matter. And they're all, you know, there's some similarities, but there's also some differences, especially between like iOS and like a WordPress or like a kind of a web-based CMS.
I don't know if you saw that from just. I got a full body shiver when you said Android, but go on.
How do you handle that? Because you're talking about two different skill sets that someone really needs to have to be an expert at, right? So to have someone that's amazing at WordPress and iOS or any other platform is a challenge to find.
We don't. We have separate resources. Internally, we have a separate programmer that's just iOS, and I have a separate programmer that's just WordPress. And actually, you know, fully staffed, we have separate teams that work on those projects.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that really kind of makes the most sense to me. I could see some overlap, but it is a tricky one.
Yeah, I'm not looking for a programmer that does both WordPress and iOS. Those are two separate skill sets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Let's quickly go back to something you said earlier, which we were talking about on the pre-show a little bit, and that's kind of about growth. And you said kind of change and growth scares you. I kind of agree. There's two different mindsets of that. Either kind of stay small, stay agile, nice and lean, and focus on what you do best, or you know, keep growing so you don't have to basically keep turning jobs away because you can't fit it, right? So a job comes in you might normally have to pass on, you could take it on and know, all right, I just have to hire some more resources, and you just kind of keep growing, sky's the limit. What's the mindset behind that? Because I know obviously you said you don't like change, you don't like growth too much, you're a smaller shop, and I know that's what you like. Where did you make that decision? Was that early on? You said, you know what, we want to be lean and agile, or was it just kind of that's how it worked out and you're comfortable that way?
A little bit of both. You know, the fact that we're, you know, an 8 to 12 person shop, depending on, you know, whatever projects we're working on, we actually sell that as a benefit to our clients. You know, we can be a lot more nimble than a 50 man shop. You know, we can move quicker. We can do things and respond quicker to stuff. So I actually like that. My clients like that, and that's kind of part of the reason I fear growth, because as you become bigger, you're not able to be as flexible as you are when you're smaller, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing I fear is just the finances of it all, you know, and that's why I'm yes, I fear it, but I do it, and I do it very slowly and carefully and very calculated, because I we did talk about those bubbles. I went through some rough times during those bubbles, and I learned a lot of lessons there about growth and about managing cash flow very carefully.
Well, let's talk about supply and demand a little bit, right? Because we can be as conscientious as we want around our spending habits and being very pragmatic in our financial situation, or the way that we scale maybe projects that we want to bring in, or even the marketing and sales side. But ultimately, there in the WordPress space specifically, we could talk about the demand is so high that we are challenged to maybe grow as fast as we want sometimes because the supply isn't there. What I mean by that is development resources and talent may not be up to the speed or par that we need to handle the audience that we are trying to grow. How do we deal with those issues? Because that is something that generally in business, especially in a community like this, it's just starting to grow out of its economical infancy, we're going to see. How do we grow from that? How do we scale it?
You know, I think you touched on a really important point. It's hard to find good talent. And that goes for anything. Forget just programming, anything. It's hard to find good people. But especially in our industry, you know, it's hard to find a very talented, efficient, fast WordPress programmer. And to me, a WordPress programmer has to know not just how to build themes, how to build plugins, but how to do PHP, how to build SQL queries, and has to have some Linux chops as well, because they have to be able to navigate around the host. That's a big skill set, and not a lot of people have that. Now, you know, there are ways to train junior talent to bring them on and bring them up, but that takes time and money
as
well.
The ramp up period there.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So it's a challenge.
It is a challenge for sure. And I mean, I think a lot of what we're seeing also stems from the rise of the agencies in the WordPress community. I mean, just a few years ago, how many WordPress 100% focused WordPress companies had over 10 employees? Maybe two, maybe three. Not many, you know. And now there's 30, maybe more, I don't know, that have over 10 employees, you know. So the whole community has obviously grown, WordPress has grown, and with that, agencies have gotten bigger, gotten able to bring in bigger talent, afford bigger talent, and they're, you know, starting to scoop up a lot of those freelancers and the talent that's out there. So it is a lot harder to hire within the community. I'm sure you see it. I know we see it at WebDev. I know the other companies see it because we all talk about it behind the scenes. So it's a challenge. What are we... what's the fix there? Is it to go outside the community and just look for, you know, PHP people and then train them on WordPress, or
that's a tough proposition as well. You know, you touched on a couple
things. Answer this for me, man. I need answers.
You touched on a couple things, Brad, because 10 people is where we're at. You know, I'm right there. That's a weird size. You know, you're no longer a freelancer or a two-person agency that can run extremely lean and mean, right? A freelancer or a two-person shop can, you know, somebody misses a payment, they can kind of skate by, usually, kind of skate by. Once you hit 10, now you've got a serious payroll, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not at the level of a 50-man shop, so there's a certain size project that you're not able to access. So it's an interesting size. I think I've been able to find the strengths there and really sell those strengths to my clients. And you know, I think I'm working on some decent sized projects for the size of the agency that we are. So that kind of answers your question about size. Yeah. As far as bringing on somebody from outside the community, it's got its own set of challenges as well, because WordPress. You know, WordPress is unique. You know, to really build WordPress effectively, to develop it right, to future-proof it, to develop it for optimization, you really have to build within the WordPress way. And that's the best way to say it, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to sort of know the hooks and hooks and actions in and out. You've got to know where things go. You've got to know not to mess with core. You know, if I'm coming off the street as a PHP MySQL programmer and you put me in front of WordPress with no training, I'm going to start hacking core.
Yeah.
I did it. When I first got into WordPress, I did it. We all did.
Oh, yeah.
So, I still do. And that's...
and that's why they don't let me touch code anymore. It's cool.
And, you know, that's bad. that leads to problems really fast as you start
to absolutely. Steal. No, you're right. And there's also... The mindset of, you know, there's, or outside of any CMS for that matter, look in at the CMS and it's very, with a very critical eye of, well, this is coded terribly. I wouldn't build it like this. Or, you know, there's all these inefficiencies and things that can be done better, but they don't realize, like, it's an ongoing project. WordPress has been around for 10 years. So there's 10 years worth of code in there. There's 10 years worth of code that probably isn't perfect that could use some help. And that's why it's open source, contribute, help make it better, help fix it. But I know a lot of outside communities, especially like PHP, if you're just like a hardcore PHP developer, you look down a lot of these CMSs like WordPress and Drupal. You just think the way they're structured maybe isn't as good as it could be, but I don't know.
Yeah, typically a home-baked CMS that's built, and I'm going to stereotype here, right? A home-baked CMS that's built by a PHP MySQL head right, does not have a good user experience.
No.
Right? And those are the clients we take over a lot when we're converting something from a home-based CMS or another content management system over to WordPress. Most of our projects actually start like that. A client will come to us with something else, and we convert it to WordPress.
Get me off of this, please.
I say that to my clients. I call that my accidental core competency, right? my accidental core competency is porting.
It's true. I mean, it is true. We see that quite a bit, too. A lot of migrations. Good business to be in. Let's go, because we've got a lot more topics. And one I definitely want to get into, and I know Dre does as well, is around community. So you mentioned it in your monologue. We've talked about a little bit here, but more specifically around, so you organize the OC WordPress meetup group.
I do.
Which is one of the probably more active meetup groups I've ever seen or been a part of. You guys have an amazing meetup, amazing group of people out there, very active. You have a really awesome Facebook group that is extremely active. And you run great WordCamps because of your meetup group. You know, I'm sure that's certainly helps having a community that strong. So,
let me interrupt there for a second, because we got to give Jeff and Brandon a little bit there. Those guys are freaking amazing.
Yeah.
It certainly wouldn't be, you know, four or five years deep now, as kick-ass as it's been.
I don't have the time and patience to run a WordCamp.
And that's why having a great meetup, whether you're involved with it or not, having a great meetup can support these other
events
or things, because you have those people that can step up and help out run separate things. So, yeah, those guys do an amazing job. So where to start? I mean, you started the meetup group. You've built it into a really awesome community. Kind of take us back. Tell us the history of how that went down.
So let's go all the way back. So this isn't my first meetup that I've run. I've been running some sort of meetup, or what we used to call special interest groups, since I got into this business. It's actually how I learned. So if anybody's thinking of starting a meetup, if you don't have a meetup in your area, start one. It's a fantastic way, not just to network, but to learn the platform by just sharing with other people. So the way I got into this is in 96, I was really trying to learn more Macromedia Director. And so I started going to the meetup group for Macromedia Director, and I realized I was the developer in the room. And so they broke off a developer day, and I started leading that. And then I started getting in with Macromedia, and they started sending me referrals, and I started getting work, and that's kind of how it all happened. Right, but really, even back then, it was about networking. After that, I ran a Flash group, I ran a web group, and these days I'm running a WordPress group. So the way this group started is Jeff Turner and I were sitting in my office one day, and we needed resources. We had a bunch of jobs that we couldn't handle, and we needed people to refer work to. So Jeff said, "Let's start a meetup. Find the people in the neighborhood and refer work." And that's where it was all born. It was born based on just that concept. So it was sort of born out of sharing.
And that's probably one of the reasons it's done so well.
Well, I think, you know, if you're going to start a meetup, I've always said this and I've always advised people, be in it for the right reason. If you're there, if you're in a meetup to make money or to get business, that's the wrong reason to be in a meetup, and it's going to fail, right?
Yeah. It's not a hard sell place, man. Not a place to hard sell.
Exactly. But if you start the meetup with, you know, with the idea and the philosophy of sharing, and that really comes across with your attitude and your internal motivation, right? It's going to come across with your body language more than anything, right? But if you're there genuinely to share your ideas, to share knowledge, to learn from each other, to network and meet the people in your community, that's a great foundation for a meetup, and it's going to succeed.
Yeah, there's quite a few meetups in the U.S. alone, specifically around WordPress. There's one, I think, in almost every major city, and multiple throughout almost every state. Well, I know in Philly, we have actually two in Philly. I run the Philadelphia meetup group, which, you know, we do in downtown Philly. And there's also a Burbs Philly meetup group. And they have a really cool concept. They kind of bounce around in the Burbs and go to different areas in the Burbs, different bars and pubs and restaurants. So if people can't get into the city, or for whatever reason, or if they just don't want to go really far, at some point there'll be a meetup near them. And they both done really, really well. And we help each other out. With exactly what you're saying, it's been amazing here in Philly, amazing way to grow a community, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
So one of the hardest parts about running a meetup is actually finding a physical space regularly to have the meetup regularly.
It is.
So we were hosting it originally at my office, my last office, which was across the street from us. And we quickly outgrew my space. I mean, we had a small front room, and we were very quickly spilling out into the hallway, and we just didn't have enough room. So we actually looked for new space specifically to find a new meetup space. And we found a space with a big warehouse, and we converted the warehouse into our meetup room. And that's where we hold our meetups now. And so soon, a couple of years into the meetup, you know, we were noticing that some people were there for beginner stuff, some people were there for intermediate stuff, some people were there for developer stuff. So we broke off a second meetup to just do developer. So we have a general meetup, and then we do developer night, and now we have a design meetup as well. So we have three meetups a month that meet out of my space on Mondays each month.
That's awesome.
You said MySpace.
You need a MySpace.
The other thing the interesting thing that's happened, and you know, this wasn't intentional, but I think this is great, is you know, we've spawned several other meetups in our in our neighborhood. I think there's 10 meetups in Southern California now. Right?
Even leading into Pasadena, all over the place. I.e., there's a bunch of folks from the OC meetup groups, if you will, down into I think the newer ones in San Diego.
And what I love is those meetup organizers will each of them, it's always the same. They come to me, and they're always a little nervous, and they say, "Listen, you know, I'm thinking of starting another meetup, right? But I don't want to step on your toes, and I want to make sure that you know we're not competing with you." And I go, "Dude, please start another meetup, right? There's plenty to go around, right? The only thing I ask is that you just don't do it on the same night. That's it,
That's
awesome. Other than that, go do B."
And I honestly think it's the size thing is somewhat irrelevant, because I think the smaller meetups are actually better in a sense, because it's a little more personal. If you go to a meetup with 10 people versus 100 people, a 100-person meetup is big. You know, that's borderline a WordCamp in some cities, you know.
Yeah,
so
sure.
The small meetups are great because it's really personal. You might sit down next to someone and get some one-on-one help from, you know, someone like Steve or Dre or myself or who knows, you know, who's at your meetup. But it's awesome. Definitely, I'd say if you're, like you said, if you're not involved in a meetup, go to meetup.com, search in your area. I guarantee you'll find one that's driving distance. Maybe you don't go every month, but.
Well, I'm sorry.
Get out there and check it out.
What's cool about all the meetups in our neighborhood is every meetup's taken on its own little personality. And if you are starting a meetup, don't try to dictate how it's going to happen. Just sit back and let it happen. The members will tell you what they want. And some meetups have presentations. Some meetups are like Brad just said, where you sit around a round table and you just compare ideas. Yeah. Some meetups are demo days. It's awesome. Every meetup's a little different.
That's great. So if you're looking to start a meetup in the OC area, be sure to talk to Steve.
Great.
Just don't do it on the same day. So the last item we have on our list here is the Tonga Room.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that, are we?
Are we? I don't know. I think we should. So we at least got to name drop it. If you're going to WordCamp San Francisco,
I will be
there. Do yourself a favor. Go to the Tonga.
Yeah, come visit all of us.
You'll probably follow us.
So most likely we'll be there Friday night.
Right? Friday, it's probably
that's
likely.
A very likely
Friday
possibility.
Saturday night's the after party.
Is a special place.
San Francisco is my favorite city, hands down. Out of every city I've ever visited, my favorite city. And Dre knows very well that I tear it up in San Francisco. I love it there. And Tonga Room, I don't miss. Every time I go, I don't miss Tonga Room.
I think I've been there the last 2-3 years with you, buddy.
Yes, so we'll be there again this year.
We won't spoil it. Check it out. Search Tonga Room. Go. You know what? Don't even look it up. Just go there. You will thank us.
Yeah. I'll say one thing. If you can imagine the cheesiest place you've ever been to, double it.
Now you have to go, right? You have to. That's pretty. Oh man, that's pretty awesome. Where are we going? Where are we going from here? Are we going to the pressing topics, Dre?
Hey, I think it's time to crush this week's pressing topics.
Word. Pressing topics of the week.
First and foremost, we've got a beta release 4. RC is right here. Let's do this. WordPress 4. If you haven't loaded it, if you haven't started playing with it, if you haven't started testing and you haven't started submitting tickets or working on tickets, you suck. Get moving. Download. It's rock and roll. That's what we're here for. Let's make this awesome for all the people that are going to be using it. Let's be a part of it. So head over to the make.wordpress.com .org blog. A lot of awesome content over there. Helen's running the release or the whole cycle. There's a bunch of good content around the release over there and links to get you to where you need to be to start participating. Become part of the team. Become part of the contributing team. You can do it. We all can do it. We should start now. So that's exciting. Have you guys had the opportunity to play with it here moving into RC?
Absolutely. There's a lot of really nice visual tweaks and UX elements inside of WordPress 4. They're subtle. Like, on the surface, it's going to look the same as WordPress 3.9, but there's some really, really nice time savers in there that I like a lot.
I love it. I'm excited about it. I can't wait until it's dropped. I think I think that a lot of the folks that are working on it are going to get the short end of the stick here, right? The short straw, if you will, because they put in some good effort into some amazing, very, very pointed or direct changes that aren't going to be like this, holy cow, it's the changing of WordPress, right? And we talked about it a few episodes back, and that I thank all of them that and everybody that's participated here, because I think that there's some amazing changes here and are foundationally going to be where we really propagate WordPress changes in the future. So I'm excited for the release.
Let's get it out.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Well, hey, where do we want to go from here? I think there's a couple other relaunch things we can talk about. One I want to touch on real quickly before we move into some of the other topics there in the real news section is WP Chat. How many of you were involved or ever saw WP Chat back in the day?
I did. Yeah, it launched a few years ago, right?
Yeah, it was around for a while, and it just seemed to drop off a couple times. And it's back again in full force, but this time it's been reincarnated as a forum, forum dedicated to WordPress. Now, I'm a fan of forums. I've been around, since BBS days, and it's kind of in my nature to go see and participate in and comment in threaded environments like that in forums. But it isn't what it used to be. I know in the late 90s, early 2000s, there's a huge era of forums. Do you guys think that it'll get the footprint that it may want on this relaunch? Do you think that people are going to buy into this old school kind of way of communicating?
I don't know. The biggest challenge with a forum is just building a community around it. Once you have a community, a forum, will become a great place, a great resource. But if you've ever gone to a forum that's a little bit dead or a little bit stale, it's just you just immediately go away because you're like, oh, there hasn't been a post in 2 weeks. I'm out, So I think it really depends on how quickly they can build a community, how quickly they can get people actively having really deep and relevant discussions around WordPress, whatever, whether it's dev or design or even just users, it'll be interesting to see where it goes from there. It was actually, side note, Leland, who runs WP Chat, it will be on the WP or WordPress Weekly podcast at 9:30 tonight over on WP Tavern. So I'm sure they're going to get much deeper in the discussions around, relaunching, around using, they're using a forum software called Discourse, mm-hmm. which is open source, is GPL, but it's not WordPress powered, So it'll be interesting to hear his take on why they did it, why they went with Discourse, what their goals are, things like that.
Yeah, we'll see. I like forums, so I'd like to hear kind of his take on it, and hopefully I'd love to see another success there. Any type of, expanded communication mechanism that we can bring to the community where we're going to be able to talk about things from development to business in WordPress to what have you around the community, I think that we're at a better advantage. So, not everybody's into podcasts. Not everybody's into forums. So if we've got a little bit of everything, it certainly is going to bode well for all of us communicating more efficiently. Steve, you talked a little bit about some of the UI UX changes in WordPress 4.0, which is coming soon in beta now. Akismet, I think they seem to be on the same page, and they've done a major overhaul of their account dashboard. It hadn't been changed, I think, since the damn thing was released, probably. I typically don't spend too much time in there, but I could see where some changes there could certainly make it a more interesting thing to deal with. Have you guys checked that out? It looks pretty cool.
I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't actually logged in other than looking at the screenshots on Tavern. I think what interests me the most is I don't know if you're like, please always forget. Back when you had to have a WordPress.com account to get a key, Mm-hmm. I never knew what account was attached to what API key ever. So I'm anxious to log in and just see what sites actually are using various accounts, because I have no freaking clue. I think I have like 10 different WordPress.com accounts that have spread out over the years that were generating keys for Kismet. So I, at any given time, I don't know what key I'm using on what site. It's just there and it works.
I'm curious now, because I pay for a Kismet. So I pay my $50 a month.
Oh, man. So, you're that guy.
I'm the one. So I'll see what I'll go ahead and check it out.
Yeah, it's good. And for especially on the business side of things, you should pay. It's commercial side. On my blog, I get maybe a comment.
Yeah, and then there's Brad squatting on usernames and free accounts. Way to go, buddy.
Brad's got 10 people.
Commercial accounts, I can promise you, especially for clients, I make sure they register.
I was just going to say, Brad's got 10 people on his Photoshop license.
That's just terrible. He's like, hey, you guys.
He was the guy that spread around Kai's power tools. That's going way back.
He's going to be the guy in WP chat forums going, hey, you guys need some freaking office keys? I'm going to hook you up.
I got wares. You guys want some?
Wares with a Z, right?
Wares. Oh, there.
Oh, well.
We're
old. We're old geeks.
I'm Pirate Williams R.
You guys suck.
Yes, we do. And you know what else sucks, Brad? When you head over to a WordCamp and you don't know damn what to expect because it's your first time out in a community of folks that are just frankly different than about any other community that you can go to out there in terms of the way that they're accepting and want to talk to you and interact and help people. It's very different. I don't know if you guys know Kerry Dills, amazing, amazing person.
I know Kerry Dills.
Oh, yeah, I know you do. And, you know, she, man, if you ever get the chance to sing with her, she's a karaoke ninja.
Oh, she's awesome.
It's super amazing. She wrote How to Survive WordCamp. A guide for noobs, and this could be just the bar tricks in itself because it's just amazing what she throws down here. Some really cool tips, and if you've got friends that you're going to be taking to a WordCamp or anybody that you know that's going to be a first-time attendee or a noob at some of the major WordCamps out there, seriously go send them over to this to her site and WordCamp tips. It's just going to help them out tremendously. I think another invaluable resource to the community, for the community, by the community.
I don't agree with her that you shouldn't wear a prom dress. That's what I wore to Chicago.
Of course you did. Do any of these stand out for you guys? Like, that's an amazing tip, beyond just the obvious,
I think the self-conscious thing is pretty important, and I can see where you can get a little edgy. Let's say big Microsoft conference or one of these big, show floor places with all these people, and it could be a little edgy. And I think that when you look at the WordPress community overall, there's no need to be self-conscious. Be yourself and have fun.
The one I'm honed in on is don't be afraid to miss a session. For me, WordCamp, the value in WordCamp is it happens out in the hallway.
No networking.
And somebody you can talk to because you have a technical problem, that kind of stuff. That's the value of a WordCamp.
Yeah, and,
this don't miss my session.
A good 90% of them are recording them anyways. You can go back and watch the video later. Yeah, if you're having a really engaging conversation or sitting with people and just really enjoying, keep doing that. There's no reason to rush off because a presentation's starting. Don't miss out on those connections. Like you said, I think that's huge.
Brad didn't pay his electrical bill. Oh, there he is.
Apparently, he didn't sell enough of those wares.
Oh, you guys are hilarious. Yeah, that's good. I like the don't sit by yourself at lunch, or maybe like Jeff Rowe mentioned this on the Tavern. Don't just sit by people you know already. I'm guilty of that. Like, I'm with my friends at a WordCamp. I'm with you guys. We're going through lunch together. I sit down with you all of a sudden. It's a table of people I know. It's a much better experience to just take your tray, take your whatever, and go sit at a table full of people you don't know, and see what they have to say. Learn about them. Tell them about yourself and your things. I guarantee it. And that's something I need to get better at. I think a lot of us probably do. It's very easy just to hang out with your friends and people that you know, but it's important to meet people that you don't know, especially when it's a different city away from your own.
Absolutely. This is a very approachable community in every city I've gone to. So, I'm not shy, but I have no problem sitting down at a table and just introducing myself and seeing what's up. Yeah. Let's just see what's up. Go talk to people.
Yeah, I mean, I know the other one about being, starstruck. I've seen that around Matt, but Matt's one of the most approachable guys.
He's awesome.
Stand outside the hallway for 2 hours after his presentation just talking to people. Because he knows a lot of people want to talk to him. Just a couple hours, right through lunch, I just keep talking to people. And the line is gone.
There's absolutely no reason to be starstruck. Everybody in this community, they're going to be friendly. They're going to respond to you.
Well, not only that, you can go home and rest assured that we all put our pants on the same way, except for Steve. But she, you know, Carrie really hits it on the head and ends it most appropriately with tip number 7. Don't forget to have fun. That is really what it's about in this community. And that's what really gives it its flavor. So enjoy, have fun. Carrie, thanks for the great article. And you need to come on Dragcast. I'm just throwing that out there.
Come on down. What else? Well, there's another big story making a splash in the community, and it actually is a little bit relevant to this podcast, I would say, because it involves Dre and me. But we'd be a little bit silly if we didn't mention it on our own podcast. So Dre has officially joined Web Dev Studios as our Vice President of Operations. So now I am in charge of Dre, which is my lifelong goal. Just kidding. Dre, maybe you could just speak on it a bit. I think the big thing to take away is the podcast isn't changing. This isn't going anywhere. Dre, you said in Miami, you said as long as there's internet, there will be the Dragcast. I'm on board. You're on board. We take a no-biased approach on this show. We always have. Nothing's going to change on that front, but I'm super stoked to have Dre on board. I mean, it's a big – bringing another executive is a big move for us, one we're very, very excited about. Dre brings a lot to the table.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think you're right. I mean, the biggest questions have been coming the last week since the announcement about Dragcast. What's happening to Dragcast? Where are we going with Dragcast? Well, you're seeing it, folks. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, with folks a lot smarter than us. I mean, look at today. We're sitting next to Steve. I mean, again, he puts his pants on a little funny, but definitely a lot smarter than both of us combined. I'm excited about it. I think a lot of people thought, well, you know, that's a kind of a logical move, but you certainly need to kind of tread through, you know, relationships and those types of things. Does it really strategically make sense for the organization and its growth and us, right, personally? And I get really excited about that because I think that we're in a place in WordPress and in this community and the types of projects that we're going to be involved with and involved with today, they're going to be game-changing. I get really excited about building and growing ideas into something real, and when I think about WDS, it's very real, and it's in a very great place. It was a logical fit, and I think that my experience is going to bring a lot to the table. I'm excited about where this is going to go.
Hey, I'm excited for both of you. Congrats to both of you.
Thanks, Steve. It's kind of cool just seeing some of the bigger moves with some of the companies around WordPress, and we always talk about how the community's growing up, and I think this is just kind of the next evolution of that, and starting to see bigger executive moves in some of the agencies. We saw Chris Lima go to CrowdFavor, which is awesome. Amazing. They're going to do awesome stuff there. TenUp got John as the new CEO. But big things happening, right? Because it just shows, again, more growth and more maturity across the board, which is ultimately just going to grow and help the community anyways. So it's exciting times. This is cool stuff.
We're all growing up a little bit.
Well, and we can continue to grow up and smoke cigars together. So there's that.
Better cigars.
Yeah, right? I'm going to leave that one alone. We'll talk. It's another day where we'll talk about sex, dungeons, and paradise, my friend.
I'll see you at the Tonga Room.
Was that just a don't ask about question? Yeah. I heard? It's on the don't ask about list, guys. Oh.
Hey, you brought up that it was on the don't ask about list. So
I had to make something up.
Oh man, that's too awesome! Well, good show today. I'd love to figure out where we're all at with our bar tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
This arrogant bastard is delicious, but it's pretty heavy. I'm not quite where Chuck Reynolds was after a 6-pack about 3/4 through the show last week, but feeling pretty good.
A tough one to break for sure. Man, I don't know if we should go with Steve because he doesn't have one down here.
I actually brought I brought an actual bar trick along with me today.
You awesome. Kick it off, man. What do you got?
I think we end with him. Let's get our crappy.
All right.
We'll get our crappy bar tricks out of the way. He's actually doing a real bar trick. I will. I'm going to spit back at one of our show hosts, or I mean sponsors, the folks that are. Dear enough to take care of Dragcast, are dear enough to help us with scheduling and all sorts of fun stuff. Folks over at Torque.io, Torque Magazine, they put out an article, and I think this is a really cool thing because a lot of us see tooltips that we use on different websites today. But often, maybe we don't know where to go look for them. So they put out 7 effective tooltip plugins for WordPress. Go check them out. A lot of them are just jQuery-based, but really cool plugins that will help you add tooltips to your website. There you have it. That's all I got.
So I have a cool plugin for my bar trick. It's actually a new plugin being developed by the team over at Slocum Studios and Slocum Themes, which is Matt Medeiros', the company that he's a partner at, of Matt Report. And they have a new plugin coming out, a new premium plugin called Conductor. So if you go to conductorplugin.com, it is not out yet, but they have a really cool video that kind of shows all sorts of things that it can demo in it. I have a feeling they're going to be doing more of those, so you can kind of watch in real time and ask questions. It's pretty neat, though. It's basically an easy way to build content-rich layouts in WordPress within minutes. I mean, that's the tagline. That's exactly what it does. It looks insanely flexible. It is not out yet, but I know they are building a beta tester list. And you can go to the website and drop your email in there, and if you're lucky enough, they'll pick you to be a beta tester, and you can get in there early and play around with it, and it sounds like there'll probably be some discounts on the actual premium piece that comes out, but it looks pretty amazing. And one of the demos, they build a replica of the NewYorker.com website with their plugin, which is a pretty cool way to show off your plugin can do some awesome stuff. So they literally are just replicating that site with their plugin in a few minutes. So pretty cool stuff. Check it out. ConductorPlugin.com.
Congrats, Matt.
Yeah, all those technology tricks are nice, but this is a real trick, and I want you to use this at the next WordCamp, all right? This is one of my classic favorites, all right? You can do this at any restaurant, right? I don't know if you guys have seen this, but take 2 forks, a glass, and a toothpick. That's all you need, okay? All right. So here's what you do. And I love this. I've been doing this since I was a kid. Take the forks and you stick them together like this. So you form this thing with a fork. Stick the toothpick into the forks like this and pick them up. And then you can hang it on the edge of the glass like this. Oop. Give me a sec. I'm sorry. I'm multitasking, so give me a second. Pick it up and...
This is awesome.
Has never seen this?
If it works.
There it is.
Ooh.
Can you see it? Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm doing it backwards, so it's not working for me. But
now the trick is to bet somebody you can't do it right before you do it.
No, what I like to do, there it is. There it is. So can you see it?
Very cool. Yeah.
So what I like to do, and I want you to do this at your next WordCamp, is just Do it secretly, do it quietly, set up a whole bunch of these at the table you're at a business meeting, and just leave them there. And let people and let people wonder what just happened. You can hang it off your finger. It's just a little balancing trick. I love this. There's your bar trick.
That is by far one of the best bar tricks we have ever had on Dradcast.
You can do that with you can do it with a book of matches too and 2 forks. Google it.
Folks, there you have it, Floating Forks by Steve. I love it. Man, there's a lot of events coming up. One that I had to bow out of, and I apologize wholeheartedly, Steve, is WordCamp Los Angeles coming up September 5th through the 7th. I think you know it's exciting to see because we've seen some business tracks on Sundays at WordCamps in recent history. But you guys are holding a full workshop on Friday. Can you quickly, briefly talk about that? Because I think it's an amazing format, and I think that it's going to change the way that we present business at WordCamps.
So, yeah, Alex asked me to organize the business workshop at WordCamp LA. And so what I did is we picked 12 speakers. Some applied, some we asked to speak, and I picked 4 moderators. Each moderator is going to have a conversation with three of the different speakers, not at the same time. It's not a panel. This is going to be a one-on-one conversation about a hyper-focused topic. And so there's no preset presentations. There's no PowerPoint. We asked each speaker to prepare 3 bullet points that they want to cover, and they each get a half an hour just to talk about their area of expertise. It's going to be rad.
Awesome. That sounds very cool. I love the business stuff. I mean, if you're in business, you can go to even a business presentation, let alone an entire track or entire day. I mean, that's money right there.
We've got some amazing speakers lined up, and me and 3 other amazing moderators. I had Dre as a moderator. He had to bow out. But we asked Wes Churchill to step in his place, so I'm really excited about that.
Well, I couldn't ask for a better replacement. Wes is an amazing guy, so kudos to you guys. I am very eager to see the outcome of that because, again, I think it's going to be game-changing. It's going to be, I think, the standard in moving forward for presenting those types of topics. So kudos to you guys for the format.
Sweet. And I know we're talking about WordCamp LA, but I'm looking forward to Pressnomics coming up. I've never been. This will be my first Pressnomics in January.
I think you're in for a treat. There's a guy I know that's speaking there, unless he has a bow out. but he should be on stage. That's January 22nd through the 24th, Steve. I will absolutely be there. And I think there's a few of us from WDS going. I'm very excited.
Are you talking about yourself in the third person?
What are you talking about?
Because I'm going to be speaking there as well.
Hey-o!
Ooh, is that breaking news? I don't think I've heard that yet.
I don't think it's been announced.
It just did. Dang it, speaking at Pressnomics 3, January 22nd through the
25th. Is this live?
Live, baby.
What, did we forget to tell you that?
Oh, man, live from Dragcast Studios. You just heard it. Other upcoming events, WordCamp Europe, September 27th through the 29th, and we've got Prestige Conference. It's a new event. It's kind of like a mini Pressnomics from what I'm hearing coming up October 3rd through the 5th. There's other events. Anything else coming up for you here, Steve?
WordCamp San Francisco.
Oh, of course. San Francisco can't leave the events.
Where's Prestige?
That is on the East Coast? No, that is up in the Midwest. Minneapolis,
I think. Yeah, there's also...
kind of like the East Coast.
Yeah, there's also a live stream option, which is great. So if you can't make it up there, you can do a live stream ticket for it's not much, and you can live stream the event. So that is probably what I will be doing.
A lot of events coming up. Another one before any of those will be WP Weekly Live tonight at 9:30, right after the Dragcast. It is WordPress Wednesday. What's going on, Steve?
I was going to say it's a little far out, but WordCamp Vegas. We got to give a shout out for WordCamp Vegas.
That's happening, no doubt. 100%. That's going to be
terrible. That's December 12th or whatever that weekend is, 13th, somewhere.
We can get Brad to come out for that one again. He came 2 years ago, and he's like, you guys are freaking nuts. I'm out.
Oh, baby. The first time I got there, I went to bed at, I went to bed at 7 a.m. local, which was like 9 or 10 a.m. my time the next day after I got there. Good old Vegas.
Okay.
And that's WordCamp Vegas, right?
Love it. Folks,
it was fun.
We'd love to wear your T-shirt, in fact, or your hat, or maybe use your pint glass on the show. So feel free to tweet us at Dragcast so we can rock out some of your cool gear and talk about your awesome product, your awesome shop, and the cool stuff that you're doing, all while having a beer.
Where's your Zeke shirts?
Hey, you know what? Apparently they're in the mail along with the check.
What?
I've never received them. Just
all right, I will get you both a Zeke shirt.
And we will wear it the next
time. The first one we wear.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll get, in fact, I got to do this for the folks over in Milwaukee because I told them that I would.
Yeah, man. You didn't have it last week.
It came in the day after the show. This was one of the gifts that they gave the speakers over here. So God bless you for a great event in Milwaukee. The brewery tour was amazing. The event kicked ass. You guys definitely put together a top-notch event, and I'd be willing to go back for more. Man, so T-shirts, hats, and all that fun stuff. Steve, I love you. Thanks for coming on board. Where can people find you, whether it's Twitter, your website? Where do you want people getting a hold of you?
I don't.
Good call. Leave me alone.
My Twitter handle is Zengy, Z-E-N-G-Y, and it's Zeke.com, Z-E-E-K.
There you have it. Love your brother. Bradford, where can we find you, Bubba?
Twitter, Williams, B-A.
And I'm Dre Maida. Community doesn't need to be a distant thing. In fact, you can get started today. As far as WordPress is concerned, it can be as simple as volunteering in the forums or even being a volunteer in the parking lot directing traffic at your local WordCamp. That's cool and all, but why not get more close and personal? Careers have started and expanded into greatness simply by volunteering in this community. Those that have become regulars at WordPress meetups have executed on the great ideas that stem from discussions at those very meetups. Your direct involvement and passion for community will more likely extend beyond your expectations. Others who have ventured into becoming a lead WordCamp organizer and other things have built business relationships that later proved to be just the thing they needed to connect with long-term development resources and even investors. All in all, it's safe to say that being a good steward of your community can be closely tied to your business successes. No need for hard selling, no need for being that dirty marketer or advertiser. It's simple. Grow with your community, become a subject matter expert, and pride yourself on helping others. Your business will reap the benefits. Now, for me, my community started 2 years ago as I was floating next to a covered band or a stage, floating next to a stage with a covered band surrounded by bowls of death water. It would rain around the stage every time the band would cover a song with the word water in it. Be reminded, this community is indoors. Steve, thank you for chatting today, and thank you for the Tonga. You led that community just like you do all the others you're involved with.
My pleasure.
All thank you for being you, my brother. For the Rad and Drad, I'm the Doctor. Thank you for joining us on episode 56 with Steve Zingas. We're out, baby. Floating
forks. My forks. Thank you for having me, guys.
The latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast.
Drad.